On this week's episode, I don't feel well. I'm talking about the Star Trek Mission Crate. I'm talking about some t-shirts I bought and pro wrestling a little bit in the same go. And I'm talking about music from the Decemberists, Snow Patrol, Pearl Jam, and a smattering of Irish stuff here and there, but there'll be more of that next week. As always, I'm your host, Derek Brink, and you are listening to Empty Checking. Hey everybody, thanks for listening to Empty Checking. If you like the show, please check out the companion blog at emptychecking.blogspot.com. The show itself is hosted at soundcloud.com/emptychecking. We're downloadable on iTunes in the podcast section. Just search Empty Checking with Derek Brink and we pop right up. If you just like learning more about me, go to derekbrink.com. Plenty of stuff to click around there. If you like the music that you hear throughout the show, you can download it all for absolutely free at derekbrink.bandcamp.com. It is not the best of signs that I've only gotten to the end of that and I'm winded. You can probably hear my voice. I've been a little bit under the weather for a couple of days. I got a little bit of a head thing, a little bit of a sinus thing. Had a slight fever to go with it that's gone away. But yeah, I've been home from work for a couple of days. And fortunately, I've got the kind of job where you can work from home a little bit. So I did some of that today. And since I worked today, I decided I'd also do this today. Because, like, that's a rule that we used to have, like, when my mom was around. We had the kind of rule of if you miss school or whatever, you can't go to the fun activity later that night, even if you're feeling better. And that's just kind of a rule that I've borne out into my adult life. Like, I didn't go to work yesterday, so I also didn't, like, go out and get anything fun to eat or anything like that. Or if I had been feeling better, I wouldn't have been able to go to a friend's house or something. But, like, today I did work, I just worked from home, so I feel like I can record this. I couldn't do it last night because I was sick, but I can do it now because I also worked. So that's how my brain functions, and that is probably a fascinating look into my psychology. But yeah, not feeling too good. Last time this happened on the show, I did a episode where I talked about my enjoyment of Tom Waits. I don't think my voice is going to get any worse than it is right now on this one, though, so I'm not going to do that again. But Tom Waits is still great. I am going to do a little bit of a show. It might be a slightly shorter one than usual, because I just kind of want to get this done. So I'm doing it because I love doing it, but I'm also doing it because I just want to get it done and get it on the site. So, all that said, let's go ahead and do some music here, do a little music break, and we'll be back in. An update on something that you all have heard me complain about a couple of times on the show. I finally received my first Star Trek Mission Crate from Loot Crate. There's some pictures of the stuff that I got up on the blog. I'm sure you can find your way to emptychecking.blogspot.com to look at the stuff. I'll say this. The stuff that I got in it, I'm completely happy with. I like everything that was in the box. I can see myself using or wearing or displaying everything that's in the box. Really cool stuff, and worth the dollar amount for sure. I think I paid, after shipping, something like $44. And I'd have paid that for probably two of the items in the box. The t-shirt alone would have been $20, probably. So I'm not at all upset with the dollar amount spent. I think the stuff in there was pretty cool. The box itself was shaped like the shuttlecraft Galileo from the Star Trek series, and that was pretty cool. I thought it was clever that they went the extra step to shape the box a little differently and make the box even a tie-in to the show. So that was cool, and that was fun, and I enjoyed that. And opened it up, and the first thing that fell into my lap is a t-shirt that features the Enterprise on the front of it with kind of a Borg-type background. It's really cool, and it's in dark colors, and colors I would definitely wear, and I'm looking forward to wearing that around. That'll be a lot of fun. Got deeper into the box and found that there was a sticker that says Resistance is Futile and has the Borg cube on it. There was a division badge in there from Discovery, which is the series currently airing that I haven't actually seen. But the badge is pretty cool. It's sort of like those communicator pens. You know the ones. There's one of those in there, so that's on my jean jacket right now. There was a Captain Picard / Locutus of Borg sort of figurine statue thing that is now on one of my shelves in my house. And there was a kind of, I guess, also a figurine sort of a display piece of the USS Enterprise. All of those were really cool. All of them look great. I like them a lot. I think they're really cool. The card that kind of comes with it explaining those things is helpful, and it filled in any blanks anybody might have had. All in all, it was a really well put together box. I enjoyed it. I'm not at all unhappy with the stuff that I got in the box. But at the same time, if you ask me if I would recommend that anybody sign up to get the mission crate, I would say no. Because Loot Crate absolutely dropped the ball on this thing from moment one. I signed up for this thing in August. Now, when I signed up in August, I knew that it was for a future release, but I didn't understand that future release would be at earliest November. I probably would have waited a month or two to sign up had I known that. I knew that it would be every other month, but I thought, okay, maybe the first one's in September then, since I'm signing up in August, you know, and they're pushing sign up quick before this date to ensure that you'll be in on it. And, like, the date was ridiculously early compared to what, you know, when it actually ended up shipping. So it was already misleading. But once I figured that out, I kind of thought, well, all right, I probably didn't read close enough, no problem. Then I believe November comes around and they say, hey, we're going to have to delay it. Stuff isn't ready, basically. Sorry, we'll send you a free extra bonus box of crap we have laying around the office, basically. So that was disappointing, but it was sort of, well, growing pains, I get it, and if they make it right with the bonus box, fine. So we got the bonus box. It came with absolutely no tracking number or anything. It was just suddenly on my porch one day. And it had some cool stuff in it. I think I've talked about that in the past. I enjoyed the bonus box just fine. But it clearly was, here's some stuff we had sitting around in bulk. You know, like it wasn't intended to be the mission crate. It's not the thing that I paid for. Because the thing that I paid for, they had been promoting all along, was mission number one, Wolf 359, which is where the Enterprise first encountered the Borg. So we all kind of knew what to look for and knew kind of what to get our hopes up for. And the bonus box was fine and it was a nice gesture, but it ultimately wasn't what we were asking to get and what we were wanting. December then comes to its end and we're into January. And we're deep into January when they send out an important update about your mission crate, which is, hey, we're going to delay it again. It'll ship by the end of February. And then the end of February comes around, and it still hasn't shipped. There's no new message from anybody. No one's given us a tracking number. No one's saying why it's delayed. People are asking questions on Twitter, tweeting the Loot Crate people, etc., etc. I was one of those people. The Loot Crate people replied to me and said, hey, it's going in the mail at the end of this week, which was the first week of March. You should get a tracking number by the end of the week. You know, don't worry, basically. Which, as though that was the point, that I was, you know, worried about getting a tracking number. It was March, and for something I paid for in August. The kicker to that is, before even I start asking questions of, hey, has this shipped yet? They billed me for the second box. You know, the box that, like, this was the first one that I just got. They already billed us all for the second box in February. So we're billed for something that we haven't gotten the first one of, and they've taken the money for the second one and hadn't shipped the first one yet. So that's really dicey. Then I didn't get the tracking number, and I was, you know, no word after that, after Loot Crate on Twitter said, hey, it's going out this week. Didn't get a tracking number, but it did show up at my house. It did show up on my porch one day. No tracking number given, so I didn't know if I needed to be home for it, if I wanted to ask somebody to swing by and put it under some kind of cover if it was raining or something. Didn't get any tracking number of any kind. It was just there one day. The experience itself was so frustrating that even though I enjoy everything in it, it's not worth the money. The products themselves are worth the money, but the experience absolutely isn't. I've already been billed for the second box, so I'm going to wait around and get the second box, and if it goes a little smoother, maybe I'll change my tune. If they deliver in, what, I guess, late April, early May, that'll be 2 months. If they're able to deliver on that, then maybe we'll, maybe no harm, no foul, it was just a rough start. But it was such a rough start that I absolutely wouldn't recommend Loot Crate services to family members or friends. A lot of podcasts advertise Loot Crate, a lot of podcasts do sponsorship deals with Loot Crate. I'll never do that. I don't do sponsorship deals with anybody. I don't make a dime off of this thing. I actually go into debt on this thing because I pay for hosting and things. So, you know, it would be great to have some sponsorships. And for the most part, I'm open to anybody who will pay me. But I don't make a dime off of this thing. If Loot Crate came to me tomorrow and said, hey, we'll give you X amount of money just to say, try Loot Crate on your show, I would tell them to go f*** themselves. Because they're not a very good organization from what I can tell. I've never dealt with Loot Crate before. This was my first time dealing with Loot Crate on something I was really excited about, and I'm furious. I like what I got, and I'm furious. Think about that. So I can't recommend them to family members. I can't recommend them to friends. I can't recommend them to podcast listeners. But all said and done, I do enjoy the stuff I got in the box. So I don't know what that means. We'll see how the second one goes. Maybe my second review will be a lot more positive. Maybe there will be some apologies issued. But right now, Loot Crate sucks, but the stuff they send you is pretty good. You can check out the pictures on the blog and judge for yourself. You can see if what's in there would make you want to sign up, and maybe you don't have to listen to me. That's okay. But for now, that's where I stand on it, and let's just call it there, and we'll move on to something else. Sure if this next segment counts as talking about wrestling or not. It does and it doesn't, I think, because I'm just going to be talking about some t-shirts that I bought, but they're all wrestling related, so we'll get a little bit into that. In brief, my feelings on wrestling this past week were I watched it. I honestly didn't retain that much of it, but I was also getting sick in the process, so whatever. It's wrestling. I watched it. I had fun, you know, but I don't, nothing really, really gripped me. What did grip me a week previous, though, was that the WWE was running a special through their website where you could buy one t-shirt and get a second t-shirt for $1. And that sounded like a great deal. So I went to the site and I bought a couple of t-shirts, which means I bought four t-shirts. So I paid for two, really, but I got four t-shirts, and I think they're cool, and I like them a lot, and the WWE makes really good products, so I wanted to talk about them and kind of show them off on the blog. Check out pictures there as well. I will say that I was very disappointed that with the way that they shipped. It seems like I have a lot of shipping issues this week. They sent it via FedEx, and I don't care that it was sent via FedEx. I'm sure that there are friends of mine out there who are expecting an anti-NRA rant right now. That's not where I'm going with this at all. I just had some trouble with FedEx as a service. My disdain for FedEx has nothing to do with their NRA sponsorship. It has everything to do with the quality of their service. Because the shirts that I ordered shipped on the 1st of March and arrived at my house on the 7th of March, which doesn't actually sound that bad when you actually, when you hear it that way. But they shipped on the 1st. They were in St. Louis on the 2nd. They were at a FedEx location in St. Louis on the 2nd, which was a Friday. So I was thinking, well, maybe they'll get here on Saturday. That'd be great, you know. And but with anything that delivers to my town, there's usually an extra day in there for some reason. Once it gets to Earth City, Missouri, they just can't get it straight to get it into the suburbs. So I was expecting at the very least Monday, you know? But I was hoping for Saturday because things had been moving relatively fast. Saturday comes and goes. It doesn't deliver. The status ships from... the status said it'd be at my house by the end of day Saturday, but it changed from that to status pending, which was a little bit frustrating, but okay, I get it, whatever. It's a weekend, and for some reason, nobody can get out of Earth City, Missouri, as I said. So it stays listed as pending on Sunday, and it stays listed as pending on Monday, and it stays listed as pending on Tuesday, and then finally on Wednesday the 7th, it says it'll be delivered by the end of day that day. Well, my question is, what happened the other 3 days? Because it said that it was put into a vehicle at 2 in the morning on Saturday the 3rd. So why wasn't it at my house on the 5th? Why did it take until the 7th? Was it just sitting in a vehicle for, what, 4 days? 5 days? How many days is that? Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. 5 days, because Saturday, 2 a.m., I'm counting Saturday as a day. What's that about, FedEx? What kind of service is that? Like, thank God I didn't pay for overnight. I would have been furious. I'm just mildly irritated as it is. But anyway, when it finally got here on Wednesday night, it was I saw the truck pull into the onto the street where I live here, and saw the guy get out and just kind of drop it at the midpoint of my porch and walk away. Didn't knock on the door, didn't, you know, make it to my porch, just kind of dropped it on the concrete slab out there and walked away and got back in his truck. So I went outside and just, anything could have happened. It was after dark. It was 8 o'clock at night. It was dark outside, and guy just kind of walked up to my house, dropped it, and walked away and didn't actually even take it to my door even. So, FedEx sucks. I am going to try not to use them again, but it has absolutely nothing to do with the NRA boycott. Anyway, the shirts. The shirts themselves I'm very happy with. Like I said, the WWE makes a great product. I got 4 of them, and I'll kind of talk through them. The first one I got is in support of Seth Rollins. It's a shirt that's kind of a parody of the Monday Night Raw shirt. Not parody, that's kind of a... But it's a redesign of the Monday Night Raw shirt. It says Monday Night Rollins on it. And Seth Rollins, I've always liked as a wrestler. I have on and off thought that he could use a little bit of work on the mic. But he's not ever been intolerable, you know. I've always appreciated his performance as a wrestler, but here lately, especially a couple weeks ago when he did a full hour-long performance in a gauntlet match, the dude's doing next-level work, and it finally got me to the point where I thought, yeah, I want one of his t-shirts, and I liked that one, and it works for me on a lot of levels, so I picked up a Monday Night Rollins shirt because he's one of the best athletes on the roster right now. I would love to see that guy in a match with an AJ Styles or somebody like that. They could put on a clinic. I would love to see the two of them go an hour, you know? I would love to see Rollins versus Ric Flair in his prime. It's a shame that can never happen. Those guys would put on an amazing match. And Rollins, yeah, has just really brought his A game lately. So I thought I'd reward that with a T-shirt. So it's there's a photo of it on the blog. You can go check it out. I also picked up a shirt in support of one of my very recently new favorite women's wrestlers. I was actually looking for a Charlotte Flair T-shirt, and they only had one, and it wasn't really to my liking. Just didn't, something about it didn't quite hit with me. So I forewent the Charlotte Flair shirt. WWE, we need some more Charlotte Flair merch on the website. And I picked up an Alexa Bliss t-shirt. Picked up a Little Miss Bliss t-shirt. Kind of looked like a punk rock design. Thought it was cool. I like her a lot. She's one of those wrestlers who I overlooked for a long time. For a long time, I felt like she was maybe a throwback to the Divas era. Just kind of all looks, no substance. But then I actually started watching her matches, and she's really good. She's fantastic in the ring. She's a fantastic performer, but she also does a great job with the character. From what I understand, but behind the scenes, and if a fan meets her on the street or whatever and says, "Hey, are you Alexa Bliss?" From what I understand, she's very friendly, very cordial, very nice. But she plays the, you know, bratty, spoiled, you know, awful person role very, very well. She's got some real chops as a heel, and I like her a lot. I think she's cool. She's got a great in-ring performance. She's got a great out-of-ring mic skill. And as much as it took us a long time to get over the This Is Your Life segment that she did with, I believe, Bayley, that was just one of the worst segments in Raw history that I've ever seen, and I'm including the Katie Vick angle in that, as hard as it was to get over that, she's fantastic in everything else that she's done. So I thought I'd get one of her shirts too. And it's this is the first women's wrestling t-shirt I've bought. I feel like that's kind of progress for me as an egalitarian. So I'm kind of excited about that too. So check out the Little Miss Bliss shirt, the Alexa Bliss shirt that I bought on the blog as well. I followed that up with a shirt in support of one of my other new favorite WWE personalities, who I liked outside of the WWE too. I picked up a Rowdy Ronda Rousey t-shirt. It's done in the style of the old Roddy Piper Hot Rod t-shirts, and it says Rowdy and Ronda Rousey underneath it. I'm a Ronda Rousey fan. I've liked her since she was in the UFC. I don't understand why a couple of losses in a row boots you out of the UFC. I just don't get it. It seems like, you know, boxers lose but keep fighting, so I don't know why UFC competitors don't. But I am very excited that she's in the WWE. She could use a little bit of assistance on the microphone. She probably needs a mouthpiece. With Brock Lesnar probably on his way out of the Federation, it'd be great to see Paul Heyman alongside of Rousey. That'd be a lot of fun, I think. But nevertheless, she... she's fantastic. I'm looking forward to watching her career grow and blossom in the WWE, and I'm sure she'll be great. And even if she's not, I like the t-shirt. So I dug her a lot in the UFC, man. I'm not a huge UFC guy, but I liked her fights. I liked that she had two back-to-back fights that were both so short you could fit them into one GIF, you know, on the internet. She's just fantastic. So I bought a Rousey t-shirt. I bought a Rowdy Ronda Rousey t-shirt. And that got me thinking, you know, I love Rowdy Roddy Piper. And Ronda Rousey is using his kind of imagery, and that's... She's earned that, by the way. It's easy to look at that and think maybe that's disrespectful, but she and Roddy were actually friends. She, I believe, is still close with Roddy's son. In her debut performance with the WWE, her kind of debut at the Royal Rumble, she walked out into the ring and was wearing one of Roddy's coats. So, and that was like actually his coat. And she was close with Roddy, and they were friends, and he gave her permission before he died to use the Rowdy thing. And thinking of her got me thinking of him. Piper is one of my all-time favorites. He has, hands down, my favorite match for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania 8. He took on Bret the Hitman Hart. Piper lost that match, but the story that they told in the ring was incredible. I can recount to you almost every detail of that match to this day. And for perspective, we're on WrestleMania 34, I believe, now. So at WrestleMania 8, I remember that match like it was yesterday. Piper put on a heck of a performance, and frankly, I credit Piper with that a lot more than I do Bret Hart. There I said it. Piper has my favorite match. He's got one of my favorite gimmicks. I always enjoyed watching him, even when he was bafflingly incoherent. I always enjoyed what Piper brought to the table. So Rousey using the Rowdy gimmick made me think of Hot Rod, and I went looking through t-shirts that the WWE might have for him. So I've got myself a classic black Hot Rod t-shirt now that's also viewable on emptychecking.blogspot.com. And I'm excited to wear that thing. I'm looking forward to any chance I can wear that out in public here soon. So expect to see me in that around town if you run into me in my personal life. Very excited about that. I like all four of those shirts. I'm looking forward to wearing all four of those shirts. And I wanted to talk about that a while. This kind of counts as wrestling talk, but it's also stuff I bought. So that works. Wrestling's in a good place right now, man, and there are some really cool shirts out there, and I've bought a couple of them, and that's all I have to say about that, I guess. This is a sloppy transition. Thank God there's going to be some music playing. Talk about a little bit of music stuff here. I haven't bought anything new. I actually thought I was going to buy something new at the end of last week, but it turns out that it's actually coming out at the end of this week, so I'll be picking up the new David Byrne soon. But I haven't bought anything really new to talk about, but I have been listening to some stuff that I just never circled around to. Because in the past couple of years, I've become an avid fan of the Tragically Hip. But I've told that story, and I've mentioned that I got into the Hip on the night of their last show. So I was way too late to the party on that, and it kind of got me thinking, what other bands have I been missing out on that I've always meant to circle back to and haven't? So in light of what happened with the Tragically Hip, with Gord Downie's cancer and since his passing away, I've made an effort recently to get into bands that I kind of always meant to get into. So I'm now a Guided by Voices fan. I'm now a fan of Dinosaur Jr., you know, bands that I've talked about on the show before. And I've got two more of those that I want to add to the list here that I want to talk about. The first, I finally got into a band that I've heard their stuff on and off. There's actually one of their songs used at a pivotal moment of The Office in the last season that I liked immediately, but just for some reason didn't explore further and sort of put into. I have a note in my phone where I kind of jot down music that I want to buy, and this went into that note, but I didn't pick up any of their stuff until this past week. I'm talking about the band Snow Patrol, and I picked up the album Eyes Open. It's a really good listen. I believe they're Irish, and they're kind of U2 influenced. You can hear that in what they do. They may not cop to that, but they are. And I like that they have a lot of those songs that kind of build and build and build, and the songs that are all build, and before you know it, it's over. You didn't realize that you hit the apex of the song, but you did because it built so smoothly. I'm a big fan of that kind of stuff, and that's all over the Eyes Open album. So I'm enjoying that album a lot, particularly the song Open Your Eyes, which is the song that featured on The Office. And I've been having a lot of fun listening to that. It's been quite a good listen, and I'm looking forward to exploring more of Snow Patrol's career. I think they've got 7 or 8 albums out there, and I've only got one, so I'm at the tip of a very dense iceberg, and I'm looking forward to that. The other band that I've gotten into in the past couple of weeks that I'm actually realizing now also had a song that featured on The Office, but that's nowhere near the first place I'd ever heard of them. I started hearing about this band back in 2006, I think, and in fact, there's a online comic that I used to read called Toothpaste for Dinner that referenced them in a thing and like had one of their CDs hanging over a pit. And just titled the comic Hipster Trap. And you'll understand in a second. I'm talking about the Decemberists. I've been hearing about the Decemberists for over a decade. I'd never checked them out other than surface level or hearing a song on the radio every now and again and going, oh, hey, what's that? and someone would tell me that it was the Decemberist, and I'd be like, really? The band with the fedoras? And it turns out that hipsters have access to a lot of stuff that I would have liked anyway, and the Decemberists are a prime example of that. So I've started listening to the Decemberists. I've picked up the Crane Wife album, and that's so far the only one I have. I've listened to a little bit more of their stuff on Spotify. I consistently like what I'm hearing. They've actually got a new album coming out this month, I think next week, if not then the week after. So it feels like I'm getting in at a good time for them, since they've got one coming up. And looking forward to that. I've been enjoying the Crane Wife immensely. The title track, or I guess title tracks, since it's kind of a three-part thing split between two songs. Excellent. I really like Sons and Daughters, which is probably the signature piece off the album that everyone kind of references. When the War Came is a really interesting listen. I'm kind of looking at the track list right now, and I'm at a point in my life where a lot of you probably are. I do a lot of my listening in the car, and I don't know the name of anything. So I'm sure there are more songs I should be talking about off this album. I just don't know them by their title. But I've been enjoying The Crane Wife by the Decemberists quite a bit. I'm looking forward to expanding my knowledge of them as well. I believe the album that they've got coming out is their eighth one here in the next couple of weeks. And I'm looking forward to earning that fedora. That I already wear fedoras, but I've earned mine. I'm creeping up on 40. I've put in the time, I've put in the effort, and I look good in hats. So it's not a hipster thing. I will defend to the day that I die my right to wear a hat and not be called a hipster, even though I also enjoy some of their music. But yeah, finally becoming a Decemberists fan. So that's something. The only other music I've been listening to, I posted on Facebook earlier in the month that, you know how some of you start listening to Christmas music before the turkey is even off the table from Thanksgiving? Well, that's how I feel about Irish music. The 1st of March rolled around and I started playing Irish music in my car leading up to St. Patrick's Day coming up on the 17th. So I've been driving around listening to a bunch of Irish music. I'm actually going to talk about that a lot more on next week's episode when we're a little bit closer to St. Patrick's Day. But just know that if you get into my car here in the next couple of weeks, you're going to be hearing some 10 whistles and fiddles and stuff. So, and a lot of songs about drinking. For some reason, that's most of Irish music is either drinking or death. So that's sometimes both at the same time. So that's been my last couple of weeks, and or I guess last week and a day anyway. So that's been a lot of fun for me, and we'll talk about that more next week. The other thing that I picked up in the last week that I am happy with and that I wanted to talk about is I picked up the Pearl Jam album Riot Act on vinyl. I've had it on CD forever, but I picked it up on vinyl. Because it's one of my favorite Pearl Jam albums. It has a couple of my favorite Pearl Jam songs on it, and I felt like I owed it to myself to hear it in the warmth of vinyl. So I picked that one up, and I spun it today, actually, while I was working, and kind of listened to that. And it's amazing the different experience that listening to something that you're already familiar with in CD or in digital format, the experience is so much different when you listen to it in vinyl, because it forces you to examine the music differently. Riot Act, for example, is a 2-LP situation, so it's four sides. So you experience brief chunks of music at a time, and you have to kind of... It makes you view those songs differently. It makes you experience those songs differently. There are songs on Riot Act that I might have skipped if I were listening to the CD, because I like that album a lot, but there's a couple that I just skip over because it's sort of, not my favorites. But listening to it on vinyl, I sort of had to deal with those songs because they were in the middle of a side, and that made me appreciate those songs differently and experience those songs differently, and it was a really interesting experience. I need to get way more Pearl Jam on vinyl, because I love Pearl Jam. I kind of feel like Pearl Jam is my generation's answer to The Who. And I feel like I'm collecting The Who on vinyl. I need to collect Pearl Jam on vinyl. And, I currently only have Riot Act, which I just bought, and Lightning Bolt, which is not one of my favorite Pearl Jam albums. It's good, but it's not one of my favorites. So I think I'm going to make an effort to buy more Pearl Jam on vinyl here soon, and maybe I'll talk about that. Maybe there's a Pearl Jam episode in your future. I don't know. They're a great band. Maybe they deserve that. But yeah, Riot Act was a really fun and interesting listen and kind of captivating and sort of a different experience to listen to on vinyl. I recommend folks go out and get yourself a turntable. They're $100, you know? Go get yourself a turntable, get yourself some actual records, and experience music differently, because it's such a different experience and such a more dedicated experience. You have to actually take part in the process of making music happen. You have to lift up the record and get it onto the turntable correctly, and you have to pick up the arm and touch it to the vinyl and hear the pop that you yourself created, and you're actually involved in the process rather than just taking out your phone and pressing shuffle and listening to whatever garbage you've got on there. Vinyl is awesome, and I love listening to vinyl, and I'm really happy to have listened to some Pearl Jam on vinyl, so just wanted to talk about that, and that's it. That's it for the music stuff.
We met as children, grew up Christian, grew apart, came together and fell apart again. Hung out in high school, trying to look.
Well, everybody, I think that's it for this week. You haven't been able to hear it because between sentences I've been hacking and coughing and sneezing, and my medication is wearing off, so I need to sign off and I need to probably go to bed. But thanks for hanging with me here on a less than healthy episode of Empty Checking. Next week we'll hopefully be back up and running at full speed, full pace, and the episode will come out on time. I'm actually going to be releasing this one a day late. But next week we should be back on target and hopefully sounding okay again and able to speak in full paragraphs without having to cut out a bunch of coughs and wheezing and stuff. Next week's episode, we're going to talk about some Irish stuff in light of St. Patrick's Day coming up. Get ready for that. I'm going to give you some Irish recommendations. Probably also going to talk about a new hat that I'm going to buy. My dad, I don't know what I'm buying yet, but my dad and I are going out to Levine's Hats here in St. Louis on Saturday, and I'm going hat shopping for St. Patrick's Day. I'm going to buy myself a new St. Patrick's hat, so I'm sure that'll be on the blog next week, too. I've got some cool stuff lined up. I'm planning ahead a little bit. I've got some episodes planned ahead, not recorded ahead, but planned ahead. And I'm looking forward to sharing some stuff here with you in the upcoming weeks. I'm looking forward to next week's episode in particular for a lot of reasons. So, be sure to check that one out. Thank you for checking this one out. As always, please check out the websites I mentioned at the front, particularly the companion blog at, emptychecking.blogspot.com. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your support. And hey, check us out next time. Resistance is futile.